Welcome back to Game of Thrones 2 Electric Boogaloo. Publishing outside our regular schedule to do some more in-depth coverage of the new House of the Dragon Season 2 trailer. Joining me to talk about this teaser trailer is Bosmang Aeron. My sense so far is that the show is going to make a few left turns in a way that maybe they wouldn't have done for season one.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. My feeling is that season one was sort of a proof of concept. Like, they wanted to build up goodwill again. And once they got it...
Do you think they're going to change after they built up goodwill? I mean, it's not like season one's a slavish following of the plot of Fire and Blood, but it was pretty close.
It was pretty close.
Most of what they deviated from was like, you know, things that you would have to be inside the mind of the character to know, or you'd have to like, they took advantage of like, well, there's only, you know, like the idea that Vhagar accidentally killed Prince, was it Jason?
I mean, even so, there was a bit of wiggle room to do those things.
Yeah, because nobody was there.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, look, there's a couple things to consider. One, we lost the chief showrunner.
We lost the directorial side of that.
Sure, okay.
The safety blanket.
Yeah, yeah. But we still have Condal, right?
Condal is the main guy, yeah.
So, yeah, so then the question is, does Condal do what the original series did? And that is, first couple seasons, pretty faithful to the book, and then going forward.
Yeah, we can debate that.
Play a little jazz, do some composite characters, a few things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to jump in and talk about this trailer?
Sure.
We begin with Otto saying that mistakes were made. Errors were made. Aeron. I think
we can all agree on that, Otto. Mistakes were made. It's a big man to admit it.
The brilliant political spin to acknowledge that mistakes were made. Now this could be talking about, you know, the fact that Luke and Eric's gets chomped in the season finale, or he could be talking about maybe we didn't prop up Aegon II. In the smoothest of fashions. Not sure what to make of this, but you know, you've got Otto doing Otto things.
If I had to bet, I'd think it's a former that he's going to try to play off the death of Luke and some of these others. It's like, you know, it's just still not too late to snatch peace from the jaws of war here and for you to bend the knee to the rightful king.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Next we see Rhaenyra kind of in her grief, looking out mournfully over the sea. And to me, this is kind of an indication they're going to pick up right where they left off. Like, this may be the same day that she finds out.
Yeah, and is she not, is this the high tower she's looking at?
I don't think so. I think she thinks my son was lost at sea, or the remains of him.
Is that Storm's End that they're looking at? Because what castle is she looking at that promontory?
She might have, like, mounted the dragon and gotten as close as she can to Storm's End.
Okay.
That's my sense.
I'm going to guess that that's Hightower.
Oh, all right. Oh, so she's
She's maybe thinking of something rash here.
Maybe I'll go burn down a castle, Danny style.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I don't think she'll attack it, but it's like, maybe, you know, it's something she's considering, you know.
It is kind of nice for the story that if you want someone to get to a different place in the kingdom and look, you know, dramatically at that, it's like driving to your ex-girlfriend's house, you know, just sitting outside the house thinking
casing, stalking. Yeah, you need a restraining order.
So Rhaenyra is stalking Alicent, I suppose. No, I thought it was a good sign that we are not going to have a big time gap between seasons.
Yeah.
I do think that they've built up enough of these character arcs in a way that you really want to see the emotional payoff after the big event, you know? So I think we did get a little of that in the season finale, but I really, really want to see how Rhaenyra is processing.
Sure.
Daemon and full battle gear. Damon's still looking as badass as he always does.
Mm-hmm.
You think we're going to see Damon on the field of battle more often in this second season, or in the room as his wife's counselor?
I think he's going to, yeah, no, he's going to kick some ass. He's definitely like, we're not spoiling things, right? But like,
I hope we're not spoiling things by saying that Damon will kick ass.
Yeah, I think he's going to be involved. I don't think he is the wartime consigliere. He's he's Sonny, you know. He's the guy you want out there and it fights the streets fighting.
Yeah, yeah. Even if the punches don't always land, he's gonna
get
hot tempered and go after.
People are gonna know they were punched.
Exactly right. Okay. We see the Hightower banners. We see an encampment between the mountains. People are gathering for war. That's the sense we're getting.
And that, to me, that looks very Vale-y. So if you're looking for indications of how, you know, because Jake, you'll recall, was on a diplomatic mission to kind of secure everything that wasn't Storm's End. He was going to check up on the Starks, check up on the Riverlands, check up on the Vale, and this large encampment with a Targaryen banner seems to lead me to believe that they're going to be successful.
Yeah, this could be like the Knights of the Vale are have called the banners, and now they're heading down.
Yeah, it's like when Theoden called in his banners to march to Gondor, and he had them all camped out. This is what it reminds
me
of.
We do see the green banners here, which those are Hightower banners for sure. So they're just pushing different army scenes together at this point.
Moving chess pieces on the board.
Allison, not to be outdone by the brilliant political spin of her father, says many will die.
That's what happens in war.
Thank you, Allison. And then we see Kristen Cole about to behead a dude. And my sense is that this is some lord who didn't bend the knee, and now he's gonna get his.
Yeah, might be might be still a loyalist holdout on the small council. But at any rate, yeah, we know that there was several key lords loyal to Rhaenyra still in the capital, and they're gonna be dealt with one way or another.
Now, I did not notice this myself, but someone emailed me and pointed out that if you look really carefully, Kristen Cole is wearing the Hand of the King's, like a Hand of the King necklace.
Oh,
and
actually,
maybe indicating some kind of King's Landing intrigue. So I thought that was interesting. I don't really. I mean, I was thinking the pin.
Yeah. But they do have the. That's because that's what Tyrion. And that is the hand. Yeah, that's what Tyrion uses to strangle Shay. I don't know if they did in the show, but in the books, yeah, he definitely uses the hand of the chain of the hand, the strangler.
Right. Yeah. So if that is what we think it is, then that indicates that maybe Otto gets deposed at some point.
Wouldn't shock me. That'd be a good, he'd be a good scapegoat, you know, if you wanted to be like, mistakes were made. We've definitely dealt with those people who made the mistakes, and now we're not going to make any more.
Yep. And he is sort of an on again, off again Hand of the King. We've established that already with season one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this next little bit that I wanted to talk about has me really intrigued, and I have a little dispute going with my friend Ray about this. There's a scene of a young girl with dark skin, and she's looking up at a whitish dragon. My immediate thought was, this is one of the dragon seeds, and possibly dragon riding material. And I thought this was nettles. That was my guess on this.
It's pretty. Again, I'll say this. I'll say it once and a million times. You hear a name, don't Google it. because all the secrets are known if you've read the book. So like, yeah, but mm-hmm. but I think that's mm-hmm. probably pretty good speculation. Looks like she's holding, is this like a fishing rod? You know, because like my idea is a lot of the, you know, from what I can see of the casting and for what I know of the season, a lot of the dragon seed are going to be from Valyrian stock. They're going to be, you know, right. bastard children from
in some way related to.
Yeah,
the
you got to have a little bit of that dragon riding blood in you. And, you know, Valyrians they're always associated with the ocean, the sea, ship sailing, fishing, and her having a fishing pole, I think, would be good way to brand her as part of that whole scene.
So listeners may remember that toward the end of season one, the idea is that there are a lot of just wild dragons hanging around. If we want to gain an advantage, we might want to search out dragon riders in unsuspecting places.
Having Dragonstone is nice because you've got those, you know, it's kind of like the boneyard they got out in the desert where the U.S. keeps all the U.S. government keeps all their surplus warplanes mothballed but ready to go, and you'd have to draft up some pilots. And well, how do you draft up pilots of dragons? That's like we saw Damon gave an inventory of all the surplus. We saw him go down to the crypts, the conjure one, Vermithor, I think, wasn't it, that he kind of conjured up out of the crypts, you know, singing the Valyrian songs.
Yeah, second largest dragon. Why not see if
they got an advantage in numbers, but they still need they need legs to swing over those dragons' backs.
They do. And so these dragon seeds are sort of people that, hey, give it a try.
And we've seen
you might die, but if not, you're going to get a lot of fame and glory.
And if you don't die, we've seen how much fun it is to have inexperienced riders of powerful dragons from the climax of last season. So there, yeah, I have a whole bunch of first time dragon riders trying to ride veteran war dragons into battle. And get him to listen to what they want. That sounds like it'll be not a problem. Not a problem at all.
nice amount of conflict for the story.
Yes.
Damon swinging Dark Sister. I'm going to see Dark Sister in action this season, is my hope. Aemon lusting after the Iron Throne. I wonder if this is sort of like something that's a little bit misleading to viewers. It's like sometimes they'll put two scenes together, like Aemon was actually not looking at the Iron Throne in this scene, but they put those things together to make you think, does Aemon want his brother's throne?
Well, I mean, that was one of the subplots last year, is that he not so secretly thinks he would be the ideal king. You know, if only my idiot brother wasn't born before me, the realm would be in better hands. So
yeah, and Aegon says forthrightly, he says, you take it, I don't mm-hmm. want it. Mm-hmm. Right,
well, Esau, Jacob Esau flavor.
Do you get a little bit of almost duty over personal glory with Aemon? Why wouldn't he just take the throne? Or why is he so hell-bent on his brother sitting the throne, if not for just doing his duty?
It's a good question. It could be that he's young, you know. It's maybe that ambition has to sit in fertile ground before it'll bear full fruit, you know. Like, it'd be a lot, because like, what is he supposed to be at the, you know, like, he's like just a teenager, right? You know, and he's been told all of his life his brother's going to be the king. The brother's going to be the king. He saw all of King's Landing bend the knee to his brother, the king. That's a lot of official weight and inertia behind that claim. But it's more of like, you know, how long will that stay stuck in his craw? The idea that like, the better man is passed over. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Again, second son problems in this world.
Yep.
We have a cool beach scene. Looks like one of these dragons is sea smoke, and which would mean that it would be a dragon seed riding it. And then you've got a golden dragon. And it's kind of like, it's a really cool shot. you know, sort of a wide shot. You got the two dragon riders dismounted, facing off with their dragons behind them. Would you, just based on their color, would you happen to have a guess about who this white dragon is, who this golden dragon is?
I think, yeah, the golden, the kind of creamy golden dragon is Rhaenyra's mount, Syrax.
Interesting.
And I think you got a pretty good guess about Sea Smoke for the other one.
There's also,
but it's also hard to tell because this is overcast. So it's like, you know, is that silver? Is that more of a blue or even a purple? Is this one of the dragons we've seen before? He's got one of those fancy. Does Sea Smoke have one of those fancy kind of club stegosaurus tails? Because that's what it looks like he's got.
I do not remember. There is a feral dragon named Grey Ghost. Possibly.
Yep.
I don't know. Just guessing.
I was just looking. I'm going back to Sea Smoke. I was looking at some of the screenshots of him online, and he does have a. It's more of a flared fin tail, but from that distance, maybe you could. It looked the same.
We see Bela riding Dragonback, screaming and Dracarising her way, screaming at something anyway.
And you've got the money shot of Vhagar. The magnificent buzzing the battlefield with their threadbare wings.
Yeah, Vhagar always steals the show, doesn't she?
And it's interesting that they're also seeming like they're pitting Rhaenyra against Aemon there at the end, because they're back to bat them in the saddle riding their dragons hard. So maybe there's going to be a little showdown there. Pretty risky putting the queen on the battlefield, I gotta say.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have to do it, why do it? However,
but I mean, if they need every dragon rider they got.
The last thing I was interested in here is I think that we see Helaena wearing a veil. And it looks to be like a black veil, which would suggest that she's in mourning. And maybe that's all I'll say about that at this point.
Yeah,
but I thought that was an interesting detail to include.
Well, as they've commented on his trailer, people die in war. A lot of opportunities to wear black. It's a slimming color.
Indeed.
Looks nice on people.
Unless you're committed to green dresses, you only wear green. Why not wear black from time to time?
It is interesting. It is interesting that now it's saying summer 2024, where I think before, like a couple weeks ago when they're talking about the release date, it was like early summer. I wonder if they're hedging their bets a little bit. Because when you hear early summer, I'm thinking, you know, May, June, summer. Well, hell, that could be July, August even.
So yeah,
I wonder if they're hedging their bets just a little bit with the post production by just doing summer instead of.
Yeah, they're being pretty vague on this, and I've heard a rumor or two that they're going to split the season, like they're going to do four, and then another four later. But I don't know if that's just rumors or if that's.
You know, it's a popular thing to do. Amazon did it with their Invincible season 2. You know, they kind of like, I think Breaking Bad and AMC is kind of with The Walking Dead, they became famous, but I believe Breaking Bad was one of the first ones that did that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that because it's not often done to service the story of like, oh, well, here's the natural breaking point. It would feel weird to keep. You know, it's almost always just to spread out that money into different quarters and things. So it's like, ugh. And it just, yeah, it splits up the, instead of getting like a nice white hot ball of conversation and people invested, it kind of tends to throw a cold bucket of water on that. You know, if you're building a fire, do you spread your coals out or do you pile them all together?
Yeah, you risk losing momentum, but, you know, this is sort of property that brings its own momentum with it. And so you might get more mid-season buzz this way.
Could be, especially since Because I said on the preview, it's like, I'm predicting that there'll be 20 million people watching this by the end of next, like at the beginning of the season. I think you're going to come back, not just at the season one peak, but in the, and especially since it's been a long off season, I think there's been plenty of time for the word of like House of the Dragon's good actually to percolate through the Game of Thrones, you know, kind of faithful. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be a lot of people back.
I think so. And so, you're going to have bigger like, set pieces and more action. And it's just like, if you're a casual fan, it would not take a lot to catch up to.
But I still think like when you had a worldwide audience of 100 million for the original series, like maybe taking a break in the middle so people can be like, oh, I didn't even know it was coming out. Oh, yeah, it's out. It's still good. You should need to watch maybe. And they're in the reacquisition business of an audience. But, you know, the other thing is like just tell your story. You know, don't be playing marketing games with it. But
yeah, I think we'll all see. Appreciate it when you make decisions not based on marketing, but in service to the story.
The other thing is, like, is if they're going to, as it seems likely, in a year or two, we're going to have two Game of Thrones series, base series. We're going to have House of Dragon finishing up, plus A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. I'm like, man, I don't know how those split seasons would work. Because, like, I think that's rough shifting those.
And take this with a grain of salt. You know, these are just rumors. But you know what? You've already cut the season to 8 episodes from 10. Don't split it up.
Four episodes, man. That's just you're just getting a taste.
I mean, unless these episodes are like 2 hours long a piece or something.
True. It's true. You never know.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a first for HBO. HBO Max, I don't think I've ever seen them split a series season like that.
Yeah.
Wow. But it's probably someone jumping and be, oh, you forgot that season 5 of Treme was, I have not, but it seems an unusual move for them.
One last thing, Aaron.
Yep.
I have really, really loved this latest season of For All Mankind. And I think you and Jim are killing it over at High Bob. And if anyone is not watching this, it's a great, fantastic sci-fi. And love the Bald Move coverage of this show.
I love For All Mankind. I think it deserves a bigger audience. It is on the other side of the map from Game of Thrones in terms of, you know, it's storytelling, and there's the complete lack of dragons. Hardly any incest.
Spaceships are just dragons in space, and
I mean,
instead of the Iron Throne, you want to plant a flag on some distant rock, and you never know which political house is going to wind up on top. So
it's true. There's a few parallels. House, Soviet Russia, House, North Korea.
Really, For All Mankind is like a spy. It's like a spy show, sort of alternate timeline stuff.
It is. Yeah, I guess if you don't know, like the whole thesis of For All Mankind is what if the Russians beat Apollo 11 to the moon? Yeah,
how would that have changed history?
And essentially the space race never stops. And every season they jump forward 10 years, starting in the late 60s. And right now we're in the 2003s. And it's just really fascinating. And I really like it now because like, When we're going through the I was alive and paying attention to this parts of history. So it's really fun to see the subtle little butterfly flaps through the timeline of, you know, just like minor things like John Lennon is still alive in this timeline. Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. And he keeps them showing up on news reports and whatnot. But it's a fascinating show.
Yeah. Michael Jordan, I do love baseball it. And wins a World Series with.
True.
The Mariners, you know, things like that. Little bits of fan service. Now, I will say, I kind of thought that seasons 2 and 3 were a little bit less quality than the first. But
I think you're insane for season 2. The intrigue of the moon base and the last minute heroics. I'll leave it at that. I was all in on season 2.
I will say that season 4 is maybe my favorite so far.
I think you're not a bad Danny enjoyer, because he the whole Danny Karen plot is
hated it so much.
Although for Game of Thrones fan, it's the closest this show gets to incest. So, you know, it's incest adjacent.
Yeah, that's a good way to
that might bring some of the Game of Throners over. I don't know. It might bring some of the Lannisters over to get a look see.
Interested in a wholesome incest adjacent show.
Yeah.
Out For All Mankind on Apple, and do a search for Hi Bob wherever you search for
Hi Bob.
High quality podcast. Hey, just a quick note before I sign off. If you are a fan of Severance, or if you've been thinking about picking up a fantastic new sci-fi show, do a search for Properly Howard Severance. You'll get to hear me and stand-up comic Steve Osborne do an episode-by-episode rewatch of season 1. All right, back on Thursday with more Clash of King coverage.